Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the first parak of Maseches Challah. Today we are learning parak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, and parak Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah here is going to continue discussing various halachos that apply only to the five different types of grain that we listed and discussed in the previous Mishnah. We're going to begin now with several halachos relating to the halachos of Pesach, says the Mishnah. Ha'ochal mehem kizayis matzah b'pesach. That if someone eats a kizayis, which is the volume of an olive of matzah, made from any of these five species on the first night of Pesach, yotzei de'chovah, so he's fulfilled his obligation to eat matzah. After all, the first night of Pesach is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, a mitzvah in the Torah for one to eat matzah, but you can only fulfill that obligation with one of the with matzah that was made from one of these five types of grains. Any other type, though, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Says the Mishnah, Kizayis chametz chayiv bakares. Same thing is true when it comes to the other side. The mitzvah of eating matzah is great, but now we have the prohibition of eating chametz, and the Mishnah says that if someone eats a kizayis of chametz, of any of these grains, that's when he gets kares. The punishment for eating chametz on Pesach is kares, essentially getting cut off from the Jewish nation. But eating leavened bread, eating chametz of other types of grain besides for these five would not obligate a person, would not cause someone to get kares. Continuing in the Mishnah, Nis'arev echad mehem bechol haminim, if one of these five types of grain become chametz and they become mixed with any other type of food, hareza over bePesach, then if you have it in your possession over Pesach, you have transgressed, you have violated the prohibition of bal yireu val yimate, the prohibition of having chametz in your possession over Pesach. So again, when it comes to Pesach, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of eating matzah, a mitzvah, I say, positive commandment to eat matzah, which again can only happen with one of the five grains that we discussed. Then there are two prohibitions when it comes to chametz. Number one is eating the chametz. If the chametz was made with any of the five grains, then you get kares. And the other prohibition is bal yireu val yimate, which means owning the chametz. And again, if you own any mixtures or any grains that were leavened that became chametz with any of these five grains, then you have violated the prohibition of bal yireh uval yimatze. Continuing in the Mishnah on a different topic, hanoder min hapas umin hatzvua. If a person makes a neder, he takes a vow and he says that I'm not going to eat bread or I'm not going to eat tzvua, I'm not going to eat grain, says the Mishnah, Aser Bahem, then what's prohibited to him? Any of these five species of grain. If he says that I'm not going to have bread or I'm not going to have grain, then anything that's made from these five species of grain becomes completely and totally prohibited for him. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. However, as we're about to see, another word that could have been used is dagan, which literally means pile. Could mean grain, but it literally means pile. Now, since Rabbi Meir that we just learned did not mention a situation where a person made the neder prohibiting, made a vow prohibiting dagan from himself, it seems to be that according to Rabbi Meir, that if one were to say dagan, that would include and prohibit all types of grains, even those not of the five species that we discussed previously. However, the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim Omrim and the Chachamim say, Hanoder min hadagon eino aser ela mehen, that even if a person takes a vow, takes a neder, and says, I'm not going to have any dagon, I'm not going to have any grain, and uses the word dagon, which again means piles, then there too, he's only prohibiting himself from benefiting from eating from any of the five species, but he would be allowed to eat any other species of grain. Finishing off the Mishnah, v'chayavin b'chala uv'maisero. So one final ruling that involves the five species of grain. The Mishnah is telling us the five species are subject to the obligations of both chala, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, and maisros as well. Now the reason why the Mishnah is telling such an obvious thing, we know that anything made of chala, anything made of these five grains, is obligated in chala. And certainly maisros, any of the five grains are obligated in maisro, and even many other produce, many other fruits and crops crops and the types of foods are going to be obligated in Maaser. But the reason why the Mishnah is concluded with this is in order to contrast it with the next two Mishnayos, which are going to tell us these are some things that are obligated in Chala but not Maaser, and some things that are obligated in Maaser but not Chala. On that note, let's continue with Perek Aleph. Mishnah Gimel says the Mishnah, Elu Chayovin Bechala Upeturin Min HaMaaseros. The following things are subject to the halacha of Chala, where you have to separate Chal for the Kohen, but they are put, they are exempt from Maaser, from separating any sorts of Maaseros. Like we said previously, there are a bunch of different types of Maaseros that are included in this. Number one, Truma Gedola that goes to the Kohen. Number two, Maaser Rishon that goes to the Levi. Number three is Trumas Maaser, which is what the Levi separates for the Kohen. Number four is Maaser Sheni, which is a 1/10 of the crop that you bring to Yerushalayim to either eat it there or redeem it and bring the money to Yerushalayim, as we learned previously. Then you have Maaser Ani, which is 1/10 of the crops that go to the poor people. So these are the Trumos and Maasers being discussed here. All of the things that we're about to discuss do not have any of these things separated from it, except for Chala. And as we'll see, the general rule is anything that a Levi could potentially get is not going to be obligated in Maaser, because if a Levi can get it, then what's he going to do with when it comes to Maaser Rishon? He's going to give back to himself. So anything that a Levi could potentially pick up is not going to be obligated in any of these Trumos or Maasers, but will be obligated in Chala. Says the Mishnah, Halaket v'ashecha v'apeah, any a gift to the poor people, the matnos aniyim, certainly any, like Levi could be a poor person that takes them, and therefore he certainly has to separate Chala to the Kohen, but he would not, there would be no obligation for any of the other Trumos or Maaseros. Veha hefker, and any ownerless grain. At the end of the day, a Levi could be someone who picks up ownerless grain. It's ownerless now, then he acquires it. So there too as well, it's obligated in Chal. You have to separate Chal for the Kohen, but you do not have to separate any of the other Trumos or Maaseros for anything that you pick up, which was Hefker. Continuing in the Mishnah, Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso. Also, the halacha of Chal applies, but not Maaser, to anything where any crops where the Maaser Rishon, you have Maaser Rishon, whose Truma, meaning who the Trumas Maaser was taken, but Truma Gedola was not separated yet by the owner. Meaning to say, we have a situation where the Yisrael, the regular Jew, gave this Maaser Rishon to the Levi, because that's what you do, you give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. But now Levi has it, and the Yisrael didn't separate Truma Gedola. The reason why the Jew didn't separate Truma Gedola was because, true, the obligation of Truma Gedola only applies once the grains, once the produce are completely and totally processed. So in this case, he separated the Maaser Rishon to the Levi before it was processed, therefore the obligation of Truma Gedola did not stand up. And in such a situation, as we're saying, the obligation of Chala would have to be separated by the Levi to the Kohen, but there would be no need for the Levi to separate any of the other Trumos or Maaseros. Continuing in the Mishnah, Maaser Sheni veHekdesh Sheniftu. It was a case where with either Maaser Sheni or Hekdesh, anything belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, that were redeemed, them too, are subject to the laws of Chala, but they're exempt from Maaser. Maaser Sheni that was redeemed is referring to a case where it was separated before the grain was obligated in Maaseros, and the Hekdesh that was redeemed is Potter from Maaser, because it did not belong to the owner when the Maaser obligation actually took effect. Continuing in the Mishnah, Moser HaOmer, also the subject to Chala but not obligated in a Maaser, are the leftovers of the Karban Omer offering. It's referring specifically to the extra flour that remained after the Karban Omer was prepared. And there too, you would only be obligated in the Chala but not in the Maaser. Utevua Shlo Hivia Shlish. Also, any grain that did not grow a third to its full growth, according to this opinion, only grain that has grown enough that it will grow if replanted is obligated in Maaser. And since grain that has grown less than a third will not grow if replanted, it is potter, it is exempt from Maaseros. However, certainly you'd still have to separate challah, and we're going to see that this is a bit of a machlokas as well. Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Elazar says, "Tevuah shlo hevia shlish peturim min challah." That according to Rabbi Elazar, the grain that did not grow a third is exempt from challah as well. Rabbi Elazar learns the Bartanur points out from a pasuk that the laws of challah are compared to the laws of truma, and just like grain that did not grow a third is exempt as pater from truma, so too it is also exempt from challah as well. Quick review, Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis began discussing the laws of Pesach and told us that any matzah that became matzah from any of the five grains, that's the only type of matzah that you can use on Pesach to fulfill that obligation. If you have a kezias of chametz from any of the five grains, then you get kares. If you have if any of these five grains became chametz and then became mixed with anything else, that's when you become obligated and then you become liable in bal yireh bal yimata, the prohibition of owning chametz on Pesach as well. Then we discuss making a vow from either bread or grains, and we said the only thing that you'd be prohibited really against is any of the five grains, because that's really what you mean by pas or tzvu or bread or grain. That was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. He seems to say that if you use the word dagon according to Rabbi Meir, then it would really apply to all types of grain, even not the five. The Chum disagree and say no, that whenever you take a shvu, whenever you take a neder, an oath against you using and benefiting and eating from any grain, whether you say bread, whether you say grain, tvu, whether you say dagon, whatever your terminology is, the only thing that you are prohibited from are those that are made with any of these five types of grain, again, that we learned in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Challah. And the Mishnah concluded by telling us that that the five species of grain are subject to the obligations of both challah and maizros, which again was pretty obvious. And the reason why I told us that was in order to reinforce the fact and reiterate the fact that while these things are obligated in both challah and maizros, the next Mishnah is going to discuss things that only are obligated in either challah or maizros. And the Mishnah therefore told us in Barak Aleph Mishnah Gimel that when it comes to the manos aniyim, like a chicha peya, when it comes to hefker, when it comes to maizor rishon, where only the trumas maizor was separated when the truma gedola was not separated, when it comes to maizor sheni, the hektish sheniftu, when it comes to maizor sheni and the hektish that was redeemed in the Beis HaMikdash, all of these things, including the leftover flour of the Karban Omer, including the grains, at least according to the first opinion, that didn't grow a third to its growth, in all of these situations, they are obligated in challah, but they are completely and totally exempt putter from maizros, because at the end of the day, at least for some of them, Levim can potentially get them, and if Levi can get them, or a Kohen can get them, then they are going to not be obligated in maizorishon, for example, because what the Kohen, the Levi, just going to end up giving it back to himself. And just in terms of the last point, Rabbi Elazar disagreed and said, no, that grain that can't grow a third is putter from challah as well, not only maizor, but challah as well. Have a great day.